Hi, this is Doc Emrick. Andy, tell your mom hi.
You're listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show with your hosts, Ken Will, Nick Richter, and Andy Hughes. Guests can call in at 347-202-0344 or get us on Twitter. Again, that number to call is 347-202-0344.
Did any changes in your status in terms of contact or anything like that?
Yeah, I was cleared to do contact today, so... see how that goes. You know, no real timetable, but it's a good step, and hopefully can keep some of the momentum here and get out there soon.
So, how close did you come to that last year before the playoffs in advance of that Tampa series?
I wasn't symptom free, so I guess not close at all.
Never even came close to this level then.
No,
by this time of the calendar.
No.
How long has it been since you've been symptom free?
A few days now, so you know, that's good. But obviously, you know, I've been through this before, and contact is the big step. So nice to be symptom free, but you know, it's not. I guess it's not as fulfilling until you get out there. So I just want to make sure that take the right steps here, and hopefully, like I said, can be back out there soon.
Sid, are you saying that if you get through a matter of days without any setbacks that you could play? I mean, could you be playing within days as opposed to weeks or months or years?
Well, I'm going to give myself, you know, days for sure of contact. So, you know, look, if you look at our schedule, I don't know how we have two more practices, I think, this week. So, you know, no sooner than Sunday, I would say, but I'm not going to sit here and put a date on it. It'd be total guesswork, so I just want to make sure that I get through these days fine, and that'll be a great decision to have to make. You know, I'm hoping I get to that point.
Sidney Crosby meeting with reporters for the first time since his press conference to announce the revelations with his neck problems that were discovered in late January, announcing today that he has been cleared for contact as of this morning. A lot of speculation surrounding that, and it went into overdrive today, as it really appeared, as many reporters were noting during practice, that he absolutely took it up to that extra level, that extra gear, really, that we come to see that is the trademark 87 in practice today, and he was clearly taking some bumps from teammates. And after their game, after the practice, that is, it was revealed, yes, he was cleared for contact. No timetable on the return. There is rumors abound about Sunday, but those rumors were all fueled by Crosby's slip of the tongue talking about no sooner than Sunday, which may have been the biggest mistake of his day. it was saying that. I mean, what do you think about this, Nick? Do you think we'll see something as soon as Sunday, or do you think it's a little bit further off for Sidney Crosby?
There's no timetable. It's really hard to say. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't come back Sunday, he's really going to regret, I think, saying it could be back as early as Sunday. You know, it just kind of adds to the excitement and the speculation. And we've been through this before, and, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I would like to see it happen, but I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about it at the moment. If he comes in on Sunday, hey, that's great. I'm all for that as long as he's ready to play. But like I said, you might have some disappointed people if he's not out there Sunday, because everyone's kind of amped up and thinking that's going to be the date because of what he said.
Oh, I know, and I can't wait for Twitter to explode if it does happen, and or Sunday comes and goes and he's not in the lineup, and people will be worked up about, oh, they're getting our hopes up again, and this is going to be just like last year with the Tampa Bay series, and Guy Boucher is going to think he's playing every night, and all of that kind of stuff rehashing itself. But really, there's still no timetable on this, and it could be another week, a couple of weeks. But, you know, honestly, I don't think like earlier in the season when he was clear for contact, 5 weeks passed between that date and his first game back. I don't think it's going to be that long this time around because a big reason back then was conditioning with Sidney Crosby and getting his legs back with him. I don't think he has fallen as far away from being in game shape during this absence as he was at that time. So I think he's a lot closer to putting himself into the lineup this time around than last time.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the exertion levels of the practices that he's been doing by himself out in Colorado, 90 minutes, and just sweating his butt off out there. You know, and he wasn't there after a week after announcing that he was cleared for contact before, you know. So 5 weeks, probably not that long, but anytime. I mean, it could be really any day. I mean, you never really know with how this is going to pan out. Hopefully, everything goes as planned. He could be in Sunday, and that would be great. But definitely he has not fallen, I think, as far off as he did before. If you look at it in regards as the last concussion and him making his comeback, obviously he didn't skate from basically the 1st of January, the 5th of January, all the way until October, November. Time where, I mean, very limited time on the ice, so it's going to take you a little while to get your legs under you. 5 weeks seems pretty ample. That's pretty much a training camp in that regard. Don't think we need to go through those routines again. He hasn't missed, I mean, it's, what, 2 or 3 months now that he hasn't been in the lineup as opposed to the 11 months that he missed before. So I think sooner rather than later, as long as everything goes well, we'll be seeing a healthy 87, and that is a very welcome addition to this team, as to any team it would be, but especially with missing a player like Chris Letang out right now, that's a very welcome addition to the lineup. You have both those guys out, that's pretty pretty bad sign.
Yeah, and I mean, we mentioned this yesterday or last night, that this Penguins team has gone 24-1 since their 5-game skid at the end of the month of December. And now we're talking about inserting into that lineup the best player in the game itself. And that's saying something when we're talking about a team that has been sporting someone who's been playing, you know, Hall of Fame caliber hockey. and Evgeny Malkin, just night after night, the stuff that he's bringing. And then we're talking about someone who is even better than him whenever he's on his game, and that is Sidney Crosby. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here down the road. And you honestly have to ask yourself, okay, where does he fit in this lineup? I mean, because
wherever he wants,
wherever he wants is the answer. But I mean, you're talking about breaking up a line that has put so well together all of this season, and especially in the last few months, and Evgeny Malkin, Chris Kunitz, and James Neal. How much do you want to mess with that?
Yeah, but then you could ask yourself the question, can that line be more lethal with the caliber of a guy like Crosby on it? You don't really know. You might give it a trial run, but do you break that up permanently? I don't think so. I think you give Crosby a shot to see what he could do with that, and if there's no chemistry there, then you move on. You go back, put Gino in there, and you move on like nothing happened. What's a game or two trial, honestly, with that? I mean, you got to see what you have with a full, healthy lineup, and you're going to probably see a little bit of line juggling initially to see where Crosby's going to fit. You brought up a great point. The 24-1 record since, beginning of January after that 5 or 6-game slide.
Yep.
This is the time of year where you want to see those kind of, you want that kind of role to be on as a team. And right now, I don't think there's a team. This is sans Crosby, sans Letang right now, that looks as lethal as the Penguins do right now. And the way that they just keep winning games and string a good streak together, I don't think anybody right now in their right mind wants to play the Penguins going into the playoffs in the first round, even without Crosby, even without Letang, because they're playing that well right now.
Yeah.
And then you look at guys like teams like Boston, who peaked seemingly a lot earlier, where they looked completely unbeatable for about a month and a half to 2 months there, where everyone's like, well, we should just give up now because Boston's won this back in December, back in November, where they were just mauling teams over and it looked like no hope. That's an example, I think, of peaking at the wrong time in the season. And I think Pittsburgh is a great example of where you want to be at this point in the season. This is eerily familiar like territory to 09, where they really strung a lot of wins together in February and March, and we saw where that kind of ended. You get on that momentum, and it's hard to stop.
And look at some of the teams that they're beating, too. I mean, just looking in the Western Conference, just coming off of that, some of the hottest teams, Dallas beating them, they're 7-1-2 in the last 10. Phoenix is 6-4 in their last 10. Colorado 6-4 in their last 10. Just came off an absolutely manhandling the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're 7-3 in their last 10. And then since then, they've won 4 straight. Even though Columbus Blue Jackets, who you know have had the league's worst record since losing to the Pens, have won 3 straight. You know, so they're beating teams that are playing at their best at this point in the season too. So I mean, it's the Penguins themselves have won 6 straight, 8-2 in their last 10. It's certainly good to see them getting this hot. And this news can only give them a jump in their step. And I mean, some of the other teams in the West are falling apart. Washington again losing tonight in overtime. Philadelphia showing the chinks in their armor, and now some scary things injury wise in Philadelphia with Jaromír Jágr and growing in New York. Who has been strong all season? I mean, 5-3-2. That's weak. That's cold for them. This year, and tonight they lost Brandon Dubinsky for who knows how long with a hand injury after getting in a fight with the Islanders' Ryan Carter.
Of all teams,
the New York Islanders. Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Phoenix in there and the other teams that have been playing hot. Phoenix did not lose a game in regulation all of February. That was a record-setting February for them. They were like 11-0-1 in that month. And since then, they've kind of cooled off a little bit. But, I mean, this is a team not far removed from having the best month in their entire franchise. And Pittsburgh did what they did with them. They made them pretty much submit to Zdeněk Mikálek and Chris Kunitz.
Yeah, baby.
Love it.
Yeah, so some definite secondary scoring coming from the Pittsburgh Penguins since Chris Letang went down with Mikálek cashing in. We had Derek Engelin with a beautiful tip in Colorado. We talked a little bit about that goal last night. And some of the other guys are chiming in here and there. Craig Adams was one. Aaron Asham. So, I mean, it's not just all of Evgeny Malkin winning these games anymore. They are getting that scoring from the depth, and this team is a lot deeper than they were back in 2009. The blue line is the one thing that's a little bit a little bit weaker than it was back then, but they're starting to bring it together, too.
I'm not even sure it's that much weaker, honestly. I mean, guys playing out of their minds throughout the playoffs, but if you look at the quality of players you have on that blue line as opposed to the quality of players at that point, I think it's hands down, you would rather have these players pre-2009 Stanley Cup lift. You know, like if you had to just look at the players side-by-side comparisons and where they are now as to the team that they had then, I would pick probably the team that we have right now. And I mean, hindsight's a lot different when you look at that. It's like, well, these guys won a cup, you know. But like if you looked at it before they lifted that, like if you had these players as to where they're playing last year or this year, compared to the players like Rob Scuderi and Hal Gill, who would you rather have? You know, and that's a pretty. I mean, you could argue that debate either way, but I think I would stick with the quality of players we have now. I love the depth on this blue line. I love the depth at forward, and I love the way this team comes together whenever there's adversity, and they grind out wins. That's just what they do.
Yeah, sure. And in the course of all this, James Neal is slumping.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, he's not playing bad hockey, but he is not producing the points that he had early in the season, and certainly not the goals. He actually hasn't scored a goal since he re-signed or that 6-year extension.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical, I think, if you look at a player like Neal, where his second half is never as hot as his first half. You can just look throughout his career, and you always see a cooling off after that All-Star break, pretty much every year since he's been in the league. So Will he stay in the slump? There's no way. I think he stays in the slump like this. I think he's got players around him that will help lift him out of that sooner rather than later. And I think it's just one. I mean, this is a slump in regards to a guy that's scored 30 goals already. Like, what's three or four games of not scoring in the big scheme of things? You know, as long as he gets back on track before the playoffs, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he just decided to cool off because he finally shut Rob Rossi up and scored his 30 goals, and then
he feels bad.
Yeah, yeah. Now he could take it easy until the playoffs. Now, if Rob Rossi had said 50 goals, we'd still see James Neal filling the net just like he was earlier on in the season. Well, I do want to introduce our guest today. He is writer for the United States of Hockey. He's worked as the PR director for USA Hockey. He's recently written an article on fighting in junior hockey that we're going to talk about here. And we're going to welcome Chris Peters to the show. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys?
Chris, we're talking about doing pretty well in Penn's Nation today. It's been lots of good news.
It's a good day.
The other bit.
A lot to look forward to, even tomorrow with the Crosby, with the Lemieux statue unveiling.
Well, Crosby statue, take care. Make it easy. Okay, so since we are talking about Sidney Crosby and a little bit about Mary Lemieux, I mean, since you do so much work compiling stats and you've done so much work with USA Hockey at the time, what does a return of a player like Sidney Crosby do, not only just for the region of Pittsburgh, but for hockey, even though he's a Canadian player, just hockey in general, the statistics, what kind of boom do we see from a player like Sid?
Well, you know, I think Sidney Crosby is one of those special guys that, you know, obviously only comes around every once in a while. And, you know, with you look at the impact that Wayne Gretzky had when he was traded to California, and we're now starting to see even the effects of that still with all the young players and all the outstanding Californians getting drafted in the first round, guys that were, you know, toddlers when Wayne Gretzky first came to town, some of them not even born yet. It's the same thing in Pittsburgh, and you look at what's happening in Western Pennsylvania. It is one of the fastest growing areas of youth hockey in USA Hockey right now. After the Penguins won the Cup, it even shot up further. So, you know, it's amazing to see what happens. And when he comes back, you know, obviously everybody's focusing on the injury right now, and you know, is he going to be okay? And I think there's a little bit more trepidation this time around as he's nearing his return. But as we saw the first time he came back this season, what a media bonanza that was. And I think that just helps drive interest in hockey. It puts it in the national spotlight. You know, the NHL lacks star power as far as big-time athletes right in center stage all the time. But Sidney Crosby is one of those guys that, you know, ESPN will even maybe talk about him. Usually they'll have a few words about Sidney Crosby. But, you know, every single publication will write about it when he's back again. And I think a lot more trepidation, like I said, but it should be very good opportunity.
Cool. Chris, what does a player of the stature of Sidney Crosby do for concussions throughout USA Hockey, throughout juniors, throughout, I mean, not only the NHL, but all these other leagues too? You see a guy like that go on the show for a long time. What kind of signal does that send throughout the hockey atmosphere?
Well, you know, obviously with such a high-profile injury, you know, and the amount of attention, I think it creates a much larger degree of sensitivity. I think you're seeing you know, just recently USA Hockey banned, delayed body checking in Pee Wee Hockey. And that was partially due to safety, but that was actually more of a move for skill development. But that's a big move right there. It's just with the research that we have available to us about brains, and we still know very little as what's been going on with Sidney Crosby and Chris Pronger and guys that have prolonged delays to their recovery because of issues with the brain. I think everybody tenses up a little bit more, and we have to think about it more carefully. You know, when you lose a guy like Sidney Crosby, it's bad for the league, but at the same time, it has caused everyone to look at head injuries and concussions more closely, and I think that's a very positive step, especially when we're talking about kids. Kids are obviously more easily concussed. You know, right up until about the age of 22, the brain is still forming. So there's a, based on all the research done by Boston University and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which, is a big topic, especially when it comes to fighting and things like that. Just having that new awareness about it really helps. So, you hate to see an injury happen, but if it makes us talk about it more, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and you brought up some really interesting stuff that you actually talk about in your latest article that's generated quite a bit of buzz, both people who are supporting you and people who seem to hate what you have to say. But I have to say I agree with you on this. Talking about fighting in junior hockey and how it should be soon could possibly be extinct with some of the rules that people are talking about, and you're talking about how that's a good thing. And you bring up some of the science really about the brain. And I mean, the NHL is so much younger. Really, we've seen so many young star players coming into the game. Do you think there's a correlation? Obviously, we know more about concussions and they're being diagnosed better. But these are also younger brains that are being injured. Do you think that's a factor?
Absolutely, it's a huge factor. And I think when we're talking about junior hockey and talking about fighting in professional hockey, we have to kind of separate the two a little bit, just because of the fact that the brains are so different. And, in writing that post about fighting in junior hockey, I keep going back to something I read over the summer, and obviously, after the deaths of the enforcers, everybody started talking about fighting and should we ban it. And I think for that period of time, I think everybody was focusing on some of the wrong things. Obviously, should we ban fighting because of emotional issues or things like that? But I think that now that the knee-jerk reaction is kind of over and we've been able to take a step back, there was an article written at that time that I thought was probably the most important piece, and it was done by Fudo Shinzawa for the Boston Globe, and he talked to Dr. Robert Tantu at Boston University. He talked about the teenage brain and the differences in the teenage brain to an adult man's brain, and one of those things is that it's something that's called, it's not myelinated, meaning that there's not as much cushioning. So that's kind of, when you think about that, you say, okay, well, a young brain cannot sustain the same force as an adult brain, and that's where we see the injuries. And it doesn't mean a concussion. I think people focus on the word concussion way too much when it comes to fighting. Any hit to the head can be bad. Repeated hits to the head can be very serious and could lead to things like CTE, chronic concussions, other things like that. So it's very important to make the distinction between concussions and actual head trauma, because they're not the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, in a teenager, their frontal lobes aren't even developed fully at that point in their life. I mean, not till 22 to 25 does that happen. So you're stunting the growth in the how the brain is being developed, and it doesn't have to be a concussion. You're absolutely right. Chris, aside from fighting being taken out of the game on the USA Hockey level or junior level, what are some other rules and regulations that are being looked at to keep the players safe?
Well, I think you've seen a lot of rules with sensitivity to contact to the head. I think, the Canadian Hockey League, which obviously gets a lot of flack sometimes down here in the United States, has actually been one of the leading organizations when it comes to hits to the head. We've seen several lengthy suspensions in the OHL this year due to contact to the head penalties and checking from behind. Also, the OHL or the entire CHL has changed the regulations of equipment, going to soft cap equipment. There's some debate as to whether or not that actually has much of an impact, because you think about, when we see concussions, how often it is the head whipping back and forth, and there's not a lot you can do for that. But what you can do is eliminate the dangerous hit, suspend the dangerous hit. At the college level, contact to the head has been a penalty for years now. They're getting stronger, but that has been there. And then at the youth levels in both Canada and the United States, there are much stronger penalties towards cross-checking, elbowing,
charging, and as I mentioned, the Pee Wee, there's no longer teching at the Pee Wee level in USA Hockey. And like I said, it was partially due to skill development, but also due to safety, just because of what we know about the development of the 11- and 12-year-old brain. And I thought that that was an incredibly brave move by USA Hockey, because it was met with incredible resistance. But they got it passed by 88%, and I think it's actually making the game safer and better for those younger players, and we're going to see more kids in hockey longer because of it.
Should the NHL kind of set the standard here for the headshots, or should it be kind of based league by league? I mean, if the NHL kind of went with a stiffer fine and suspension base, wouldn't it kind of trickle down throughout the many leagues, or should it be something more league by league based?
Well, I think the NHL certainly has a responsibility to set the tone as far as safety for players. I think there is a certain degree of importance on their stance on these things. I think what they've done with, you know, Brendan Shanahan has done, I think he's done as good a job as you could possibly hope for, because it's not an easy job. I don't think there's a lot of black and white issues. But, you know, I think to answer your question, youth leagues and junior leagues can't wait for the NHL to do things. They need to do it on their own. They need to take the research that they've been given. And I think, you know, particularly with the Canadian Hockey League and the U.S. colleges, we've seen a really great deal of responsibility taken by the leadership of those organizations to put an end to it. And then USA Hockey obviously has strengthened their rules as well. So I think the NHL certainly plays a role, but if they're not taking action when they need to be, then it's up to the other leagues.
You mentioned Brendan Shanahan here, and I think there are lots of us, including, I know, everybody on this show, who really agreed and really thought that Brendan Shanahan was doing a great job. We were excited. I mean, the videos were a great addition to the supplemental discipline, explaining why the punishments were being doled out, which is a big complaint the players and owners had, is that nobody knew what the rules were supposed to be. Nobody knew
right.
why they were being suspended for such a long period of time. So that was a great thing. But it seemed like as the season's gone on, some of the punishments have gotten a little bit more lax and a little bit more acknowledging the black the gray areas as opposed to being black and white. And I got to ask, so what is your opinion on, do you think that in the National Hockey League there should be a black and white rule, or do you think that those gray areas still need to exist?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really tough topic, and as this season progresses, I think you're exactly right. We've seen some delineation from where Brendan Shanahan kind of started the season. It does feel, as of late, that you know, we would mm-hmm. normally say automatic, that's a suspension. We're not necessarily seeing that now. So I do think I think there are gray areas. I don't think that every hit is the same, and we've seen, you know, things that could be classified as accidents, or where the head is positioned, or the slight changing of the head, or who's at fault, or if a player hasn't protected himself properly. You know, there's going to be that gray area. I think once this year is over, they're going to have to go back and just reevaluate. It doesn't mean that what they're doing right now is wrong, but there's certainly ways to improve it, and I think it's their responsibility to just make sure that they're reevaluating that.
Now, another big project that USA Hockey, and it's not just a USA Hockey effort, but it's being put together by Brian Burke and his son, in memory of his late son, is the You Can Play project that has come out for supporting gay athletes in hockey, especially hockey, but in sports in general. And there's lots of NHL players who are on board with this, too. What is this project in? Like, you can kind of sum it up and give it a little bit of an explanation for people who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly directly involved with it, and USA Hockey actually isn't. I don't think they're partnered with this, but I think it's one of the great things is, you know, I've in my experience with USA Hockey, I'm sure they're very receptive to this. But anyway, with what the program is, and I think it's absolutely done, it's only been really public since Sunday. It's done a really great job in creating awareness, and it started Sunday with their PSA with so many NHL players and Brian Burke and Patrick Burke in the PSA. So You know, it's all about creating awareness about the issues that surround lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender athletes. You know, one thing that we all have to remember is that at the end of the day, we're all of us that have ever played sports, we were judged on the merit of our talent, not based on our color or our background or anything like that. And sexual orientation should be the same, and I think that's really the general idea. It's also to put an end to casual homophobia, as Patrick Burke's been calling it in the media, and I think that's a great description, using slurs that could be construed as homophobic, just because you never really know who those kinds of words are affecting people. I wrote a story about Brendan Burke right around the 2-year anniversary of his death, and you know, he's the guy that really put the wheels in motion just by doing what he did. He came out as a gay man to the Miami hockey team at Miami University in Ohio, and I think that the reaction from the Miami hockey team really is what the standard should be for other teams that are trying to accept a gay teammate or gay staff member. And I think you can play as trying to set some guidelines for those people. I think it's a tremendous organization. It's an important organization. The NHL and hockey people in general are proving that they're more progressive than we might give them credit for. And I think this is a start of a really, really great thing.
Yeah, you mentioned progressive, and I think that's exactly the way to describe it, because, I mean, it really is. I mean, the NHL takes a lot of flack for certain things of being behind the times. And, you know, we were just talking about one area where it seems like they've been, you know, light years behind, and that's in the concussion and headshot debate. But this you can play thing is something where it is very progressive. And since it hit, like you mentioned, last weekend, it's just blown up. On Twitter, over 5,000 followers already, getting lots of support through social media, getting lots of support both online and other things like that. So if you're interested in supporting and getting kind of more information on that, you can follow them. It's at You Can Play Team, right? Yeah, at You Can Play Team on Twitter, or you can go to youcanplayproject.org to find out some more information about that. So, Chris, again, got to thank you for coming on the show. If you are interested in hearing more from Chris, check out UnitedStatesOfHockey.com, because, well, lots of articles about some more things that we've been talking about, really getting in depth with some of these topics, getting kind of outside of the game, just inside the NHL, because, you know, this is a game that's much more broad than just this professional league, and it's great to have people like that who are actually promoting those parts of the game.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me on. It was a pleasure being with you guys, and I'm sure everyone in Pittsburgh and Penn Nation is incredibly excited. So you guys enjoy the ride here for the next couple of weeks.
All right. We will certainly try to. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Peters in the United States of Hockey. Good talking with him, and we were mentioning that's a lot of science, and if you read the article, it really is interesting to read about the development of the brain at that young age. Some things that, you know, we've heard, I mean, it feels like Pens fans, you know, some of us, people say, oh, all the doctors were out again, but some of us feel like doctors because we've read so much about all these things.
So educated now, you know?
Yeah, I know, we're so educated because we read it WebMD.
Wikipedia.
but really, we have learned a lot about the brain, a lot about the injury itself and how serious it is. But there's some things I never heard throughout the past year and a half in that article. That's really interesting. And I just got to say, I don't want to give too much away, but stay tuned to the Pens Nation for the next couple of months, weeks, year, however long. Some of these projects are going to go on, because we're learning a lot. We're going to be sharing a lot of that with you in different ways, not just on the Rio show, but some of the stuff on the site as well. I mean, some really, really fascinating stuff out there.
Yeah. And one thing you mentioned, Chris mentioned on the show tonight, was the development of the teenage brain. It's something that I know Ken has kind of taught high school, and he's got an education background with music and all that, but like in a lot of these just education psych classes and stuff like that you have to take throughout college to become certified to teach, you hear a whole lot about just the development of the brain, but now you're applying some of that knowledge that we've kind of learned in our training and our schooling into sports and science now, and it's completely fascinating, and it's completely mind-boggling to see that, okay, all this time fighting was allowed in juniors, and when it's pretty well known that the brain hasn't even fully developed yet, and all the damage that you could be doing potentially to these players, and it, like I said, it's just a little bit mind-blowing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Is Darth Vader on the line?
I don't know. I was wondering about that. It appears to be coming. We actually are joined by Andy Hughes.
Am I Darth Vader?
Oh, my God. You're freaking there. I was wondering if you were actually.
You may be Darth Vader.
So you're the freak who's breathing into the microphone or whatever is going on.
We just thought it was Mark Patton.
On my phone.
Oh, that explodes.
Okay.
Well, we're hearing these sounds, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's Andy. So, hey, what's up, Andy?
Nothing much. Just got done with my radio show at school here, so.
You're
I had to get it till 10, so I had to.
What's that show about?
It's a sports show, so we, you know, talk about a lot of different things, so.
Obviously, your co-hosts at that show are not as cute as we are, so.
No, I enjoy this one a lot more.
We're so cute. Yeah. Andy, are you heading down to console tomorrow morning for the Amuse statue unveiling?
Yeah, I'll be there, work in the morning, and then I'm going to stay, and then I got to head off to school after the ceremony. But, yeah, I'll definitely be there. You can't miss it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, there's no way. And if you do miss it, I hope this works. I'm going to try to put this as a live stream on the PensNation.com tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll stick in it.
Be there?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow before I get there about 10.
Sweet.
Start to cover some of the stuff there. But we'll do some live video streaming and getting some fan interaction on that as well. So if you're out there, stop by. Andy and I will be kind of out and about hanging around. So feel free to come on and drop a few F-bombs or whatever. I don't even care. Just kind of share your excitement with the rest of the Pens Nation. I hope it works.
Yeah,
I really do. So
yeah, that's always
be
fun.
Interesting.
When you get you know, interaction. That's what I like. Get fans and fans on the air and everything. That's fun stuff. That makes an event.
Yeah, definitely. Is
have you seen the statue yet, Andy? Being an intern,
what?
Having a little bit of an inside track. Have you seen the statue?
No. I have not. I don't want to see it. I want to be surprised.
I've heard a lot of different rumors, and I think the most legit one is the one where he's splitting the two Islanders defensemen.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking.
That seems to be the one with the most legs underneath it.
There's a leaked photo of a mini sculpture of it.
Yeah.
We've seen the actual picture itself. People are posting videos of it. I'm pretty sure that one's it. I really hope it is because I think that's a pretty good pose and a pretty good picture to freeze in time.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is you're taking some of the focus, I guess, off of Mario in that regard, and you're putting it on Richard Pylon or Pylon, and it was pretty much a pylon at that point. But I don't really like the fact, and if you look at that mini sample, Ken, like there's no penguin on it. There's no logo whatsoever on any of the players on in that.
I think it has to have.
It has to have a penguin. It just has to. And
he doesn't need a logo. He's more recognizable than the logo.
It's gonna be like a Superman M.
He's gonna have a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, that was one of the actual.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Not so much a cigar in his mouth, but like one of the rumors I had heard, and this is kind of interesting and kind of cool, and maybe a little creative, but I don't know if it will completely go over. But when you look at the front, it'll be business Mario owner, you know, like he's kind of suit and tie, maybe got the cigar, but from the back, it's got like the jersey, the hockey pants, kind of, and the whole kind of 66 behind as the player, which is pretty neat if you look at it like, okay, he's looking in to being an owner, you know, he's the owner looking forward, but in the past, behind him, he's got the 66 jersey kind of hanging off his back and blown in the wind past defenders.
You literally just said that the Mario Lemieux statue and monument I like to call it the Mario Monument. But you literally just said that it's business in the front and party in the back.
Yeah. I love that you picked up on that because that was part of my innuendo with that, with the old Mario mullet, with the old Yager mullet. And I'm glad somebody did. That's good. But that would be interesting. I don't think that's it, though, but a lot of different rumors going around. I don't know if you guys have heard any of the other ones or not, but that's the biggest one I've heard outside of just the one where everyone's pretty much speculating that what it's going to be with them splitting the defenders.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm interested to see how many people are actually going to come out because Mario deserves a lot of support here. I mean, this team, that arena, that team, it wouldn't be there without Mario. So come on, show your support.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be, Ken?
I am going to be in Cleveland.
Ooh.
Yeah,
boo, Ken Will.
No, I can hear you typing right now.
No,
don't start
mom.
That.
Depth
is in Columbus.
Well, he's already looking forward to the next game.
He's at the Blue Jackets game. He's scouting the Jackets for next season.
He's thinking about the next statue. Forget the Mario statue.
Like, he's out there scouting Rick Nash.
I was thinking about that. You know, this is the first Penguin statue, but, I mean, what do you think about, like, 20 years from now, I mean, you may not have Crosby, you have Crosby, Malkin, Fleury, like, these guys. I mean, these guys have the potential of possibly, you know, well, they pretty much are already elite players, but, I mean, down the line, you're looking at your numbers, they have some more statues here.
They've got a ways to go to be Hall of Fame because the amount of years you have to do that. But they're right on track for all that if all holds up well. So
I think in 20 years that little area
it's gonna be littered.
Fifth Avenue. Yeah, it's gonna look like Notre Dame. Up there.
Like the Pirates have a good amount of statues.
Yeah. Don't say any more Notre Dame references. We'll have Darnay calling in all of a sudden again, and Meg Hurlhigh.
Megan,
yeah.
Oh, maybe all
of a sudden. And that's all it's going to be. It's going to be freaking Notre Dame Nation.
Oh, we're not talking about
Irish
that.
Nation.
New York Football Giants.
I'm not going to get into that either. Go Spellers.
I had a topic we were talking about, and then Andy uprooted me on that. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Brian Burke, his Maple Leafs are coming into town. With nobody from Ontario. They'll be in town in Pittsburgh tomorrow night after Mario Monument time, which, by the way, if you're interested in watching, first of all, at noon, if you're going to watch live, watch Nick Richter's feed on thepensnation.com.
Hopefully.
Then at 1 o'clock through 3 o'clock, NHL Network is airing nothing but Mario Lemieux-related highlights and footage and things like that, including the 5-0 game against New York Rangers and the Cup wins and those. And then at 4 o'clock, I believe it's 4 o'clock, they're re-airing the statue unveiling, which will be a treat. It'll be fun. And then at 6:30 tomorrow, NHL 36 with James Neal debuts on NBC Sports.
What a day!
Want to check that out? Tomorrow is absolutely Penguins Day.
And the game on top of all of that, and then the
Penguins at CONSOL Energy Center tomorrow night with the new buzz that's in the air. The Pens are going for 7 straight tomorrow night.
I think Penguins Live is doing a little Mario. Show too.
Every day there should be some Mario highlight that is kind of run on repeat on NHL Network or Pens Live or Penguins TV or whatever. And there are just so many; it's hard to limit. You could literally go one a day throughout the season, I think, and still not repeat one all year.
Well, we're just about out of time, But tomorrow night you can join us right here. We'll recap tomorrow night's game against the Maple Leafs. We'll talk about the Mario Monument and whether or not you like it or not. Hopefully, I mean, really, you should. I mean, regardless of what it's going to be, it's going to be that final touch in CONSOL Energy Center that makes it feel like home.
No Maple Leaf jerseys better be on that before the game tomorrow.
Oh, my God. We're posting guard when we're taking volunteers.
I'm not leaving.
Through the playoffs, that's going to be a big thing. We're the Penn Nation will host that.
Yep.
We're gonna start a Penn Nation Century. We're gonna install guard box.
Occupy Mario Lemieux statue. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
So for Nick Richter, for Andy Hughes. Thanks again to Chris Peters from United States of Hockey. You've been listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show. Download the podcast by clicking the iTunes logo on the front page. Peace.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. Andy, tell your mom hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, man. What an exciting day. Exciting time to be a Pens fan, too. We got Crosby potentially coming back Sunday. you know, maybe not. Maybe not.
There you go, man. It's official.
We're going to fuel this fire, baby. You got the Crosby potential coming back. I mean, this, at least cleared for contact is a step in the right direction. You got Tyler Kennedy coming back. What more exciting could there be? You got Mario Lemieux statue tomorrow. You got the Pens game. You got the debut of James Neal, 36. You got NHL Live. You got Pens Live. It's, man, like, if you're not amped up for that game tomorrow night, and the console's not, like, just rocking loud tomorrow, I don't know what it will take to get that place to just shake like it needs to. I mean, tomorrow you got so much time to kind of game day that up. I mean, if you're going to be at the Monument, you're probably taking off work anyways, so you might as well tailgate if you're going to go to the game later that night, too, and make a day of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be a fun day, for sure. For Pens fans, I think, for the whole city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and it should be, because, I mean, this team was so close. Without Mario Lemieux pulling the strings that he did, this team would be in Kansas City right now. And absolutely, absolutely, this city deserves a lot of credit for kind of sticking through a lot of these bad years. And it's a little time to celebrate and kind of give back to Mario a little bit and make sure that he feels appreciated and loved like he should. Like a man like him should. I'm getting all teary-eyed. I'm going to start crying about the Chicago Blackhawks. And, Ken, you're going to be so close. You're going to be right across the border in not Columbus, but Cleveland. Cleveland! They're wrong.
It's not that close.
It's across the border. But
no,
it's closer than where
you're about an hour closer than where I am right now.
Yes. And you have no excuse. You should be just hustling right across that border.
Wrong city, boy.
We're going to have
exactly noon tomorrow is when the Ohio University women's basketball team tips off, and I have to be there. It's my obligation tomorrow.
They'll be watching that live stream.
You'll see they'll pan to the crowd and the band director.
The scoreboard. Scoreboard
feed and there's Ken on his droid watching the Pens.
In fact, we're gonna pay somebody to go there and put that on the scoreboard.
No, that'd be phenomenal with our high end budget. You know, we'd be able to do it. But no,
yes,
it's gonna be awesome.
I am packing my jersey.
Are you?
In some case.
Is it your old Cleveland Lumberjacks jersey?
No, I should get my Jock Calendar jersey, though.
It's funny, we wouldn't even have the show or our blog without Mario.
No,
we wouldn't know each other.
Man, that would suck.
I would.
I would have never had to deal with Dan Clayton. That would be okay.
You'd have never known Joe Depp.
A small price to pray for Mario.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken this long, in all honesty, to get a statue for this guy. You know, every other professional team in the Big Four in Pittsburgh, Big Three, really, in Pittsburgh, has gotten multiple statues. Basically, and we're still had to wait this long to get a statue for a guy that saved an entire team, which no other player's statue that is up in Pittsburgh that can be said for, you know. You know, a guy that willingly had his payments deferred, a guy that comes out of retirement to play for the team, a guy that moves from Montreal to live in Pittsburgh and calls this now his home and is a Pittsburgher. He's a Yinzer through and through. And I'm like, why did it take him so long, you know?
Yeah. Well, how many years? Mazeroski took a while, but, I mean, Mary definitely has the edge over Maz. Nothing against Maz.
Yeah.
But he had the winner in 1960 World Series, and he played
Doc
until the 70s.
Doc,
so.
No.
Yeah,
tell Doc. Dude, we should just schedule Doc and Grover on the show at the same time and not tell them.
And
Grover would mind.
And Andrew McCutcheon and Andrew's mom.
And my mom.
Be the best show ever.
We don't have enough phone lines for that.
Oh, we have plenty of phone lines now.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we do.
Yes, we do.
Unlimited. Nice. So, callers,
man.
Go ahead and light up that switchboard.
He's making it here.
That's damn crickets. You gotta,
it's incredible.
You got to get Dale Gribble in here to get some.
I'm not going to have a lot of sound effects to that board.
Yeah, completely. I've got a few from from February of last year when we just did the podcast. About a few from there. Where I'm not even gonna say it. You'll be surprised tomorrow night's show.
Oh my! You need to put that McCulloch audio from that McCulloch video. Great stuff.
Yeah, McCulloch.
Oh yeah, man.
They played that at the. Game last night. It was awesome.
See if that's ever played again.
Oh, that'll definitely be played again. It's,
as long as he scores. He has to score, though.
Yeah, one of McCulloch's favorite... He pretty much came out last night and said Braveheart's one of his favorite movies, and that he was just... He was kind of... Wow, you know, when that happened, so...
That's awesome.
I mentioned earlier, I just love the way this team kind of comes together, and you see guys like Zdeněk McCulloch chipping in, and Derek Englund, and... Jeez, the resiliency. There's a no quit attitude in that locker room, and it's so obvious.
Yeah, it is.
Never surrender.
Great group of guys.
Ken, you also brought up a good point earlier before we had Chris on the show. You were talking about Guy Boucher is planning every game like he's like Crosby's coming back right now. He's planning every Lightning game, and we don't even play him anymore. Like Crosby's going to be in that
we
game.
We
don't
play.
He's coming back, and we're going to play him tonight.
We will make the playoffs.
We don't even play the Pens tonight. I think the Lightning are going to make the playoffs. They're, 2 points out now? So many fringe teams.
They're 4 points out with Winnipeg and Washington they're chasing. I think they'll definitely beat Washington. Their Caps just aren't doing anything that's impressive right now. Winnipeg is fairly consistent with their play, so they're going to be the one team, I think, that it's going to be between Tampa Bay and Winnipeg battling it out.
What
here.
A surprise.
Although, you know, I mean Buffalo certainly is
they're right there
out of the
too.
Race by that picture yeah. either. But I mean, looking at the team, looking at the rosters and looking at some things, I think Tampa Bay and Winnipeg have the best shot of taking that eighth spot.
Yeah. How about Buffalo, though? So sneaky. They were so far gone early on in the season that it didn't even look like there was a glimmer of hope for them to even sniff playoffs, and now all of a sudden here they are. You know, they've put together a really nice
they even got rid of Paul Goff, so.
Yeah, I mean, they were selling potential sellers really at that deadline, and they're right in the thick of things. This is unbelievable parity in the NHL this year. In Winnipeg? Really? Who would have thought Winnipeg in their first season back would
oh my
be
God, yeah, I know.
Competing for the Southeast title? Like, come on. No mind had that.
I want it so bad just for their fans.
Yeah, because they deserve
it. Incredible. It is going to be an insane playoff atmosphere if they make it.
Yeah, and in that case, I don't want to succeed. you know, because that place is going to be rabid to go into, and they're going to have the home ice advantage. So, I mean, even though they're one of the weaker teams, but just the way a fan base can lift a team up out of just, like, mediocrity into, I mean, we saw it last year with Tampa Bay. They weren't the best team in the entire league, obviously, but they took a lot of teams to Game 7, and they swept Washington. Am I right, or am I missing something last year?
No, they swept Washington.
Yeah, that
took the sting out of that loss real quick.
Yeah, it kind of felt a little bit like, okay, I could tolerate that a bit. But those fans, when you would listen to the games in Tampa Bay, it was as loud as can be, and you know Winnipeg.
You know why?
Because of Guy Boucher.
The Thunder.
The Thunder.
Guy Boucher is a scary man.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video of Andy sitting there with the tape recorder.
I think I really need to put a screenshot of that.
Dude, you look terrified. Terrified.
I had a good view of that scar.
I need to see this picture, apparently, because I have not.
How'd you get that scar? Never talk about this.
Was it some kind of llama or accident?
Llama? Maybe.
Never mind. So if the Penguins do drop down to the sixth seed and they play Florida, who remembers the Rats better?
Florida
fans or Spans or Penguin fans? Does anybody in Florida still even remember the Rats?
No, they brought them back out, I thought, this year.
Did they really?
I thought so.
I need proof. You need to prove it.
We'll see if we can find some pictures. I'm pretty sure I've seen some pictures of this year.
Tom Brett's not still in the league. So those pictures aren't new.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was a Carolina Hurricanes game. So it was. He's the goalie coach there.
That's a special. If they actually did do it for the Carolina Hurricanes game, I just gained a whole new level of respect.
Just for fun.
Or everybody.
Was it
in Miami?
Kenny Reggett at one point was just hiding in this goal crease, like in the net, like as they were throwing around on the ice. Or was that Barrasso?
No, that was Tom Barrasso, because Ken Reggett played awesome all through the series, and then as soon as because Barrasso was hurt,
okay,
and Barrasso got healthy again, they put him back in net, and that's when the whole series turned the tide, and Barrasso had an awful Game 7. I mean, if you guys remember the 100-footer from Tom Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald. So I brought this up a couple weeks ago. Now I feel like those hockey insiders that kind of say, like, I just said this on November 27th that Crosby's coming back soon, and here it is in March.
Annoying.
But, no, I was the only one, and I kind of got some crazy thoughts about this, but this is very much more possible now with the Armory Auger being injured. But how about Philadelphia with the potential of dropping out of the playoff race altogether with an injury to Yags? Is that possible, or is it, like, I think it's more possible now than it was 3 weeks ago when we kind of discussed it, or 2 weeks ago. But
yeah.
I mean, Washington has fallen off greatly, and they were kind of jockeying around 3 or 8 at that point, and now they're 9th or 10th at this moment, and now you have Philadelphia, who isn't exactly playing their best hockey, playing Pittsburgh, 2 or 3 more times this season, and their schedule's not that easy at the moment, and now they're getting some injuries on their forward unit. And
yeah, not just Jágr, but also tonight, Jakub Voracek went down, and that's going to be another hit that we'll see as possibly being reviewed by Brendan Shanahan, as Nick Cronwell got up a little high. I've only seen the replay one time, and I don't really want to make a good call on it, just seeing that much. But Cronwell definitely has a reputation. He's definitely a defender. It'll be interesting to see what Shanny does.
But he's the Red Wing.
But Jakub Voracek, yeah, short of his. He's a whaler. I'm gonna label him as a whaler for this one.
Who, Cronwell? No.
No,
Shanahan. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so Voracek, we'll see. He's not really a huge part of that team, but he's still part of the depth. It's kind of the Peter Sikora
a little bit of the grit.
Miro Shetan kind of guy.
He's one of those gritty guys that don't know if he really even got a fair shake in Columbus to even play more than four games.
No, he got
it. I don't even know if he got into that playoff series whenever he was there.
No, he got a fair shake in Columbus.
I mean,
he got exactly what he deserved in Columbus.
In the playoffs, I don't think he has any tough experience, but he looks like one of those guys, that big body that would probably project to be pretty big-time playoff performer. I don't know. Kind of has that kind of background or the project, you know, like that's kind of what he was projected to be, kind of this big body, kind of with a little bit of a mean streak that could pot goals, and those are kind of guys that seemingly do pretty well in the playoffs too. So, I mean, it's a 2-for-1.
He's not a big player for them, but I mean,
he's
one of those guys that in the playoffs can just kind of step up, and those guys can be valuable. With the Penguins, we've seen that last year, so, we'll have to see if the Vortech, what the status is there with him.
Yeah, now you're calling up rookies in this of these 2-4s now in Philadelphia, and that at this time of year, that's not what you want to see, man. Not at all. So I could still see them taking a tumble, and I'll be here to say I told you so. No, I won't. I'll just. But I would actually like to see that happen. Just because I hate the Flyers. Now I know Joe Depto would disagree with me here, but
Depto loves the Flyers. I like to see the Flyers in the playoffs personally. I still have a bad taste in my mouth from December 29th.
Yep. It's just all the molten in you.
July 1st.
Still have to brush your teeth.
Yeah, that was kind of a rough night.
That was a rough night. Holy cow. Yeah. It didn't get much more low than that. Whoa.
I do. I have, for the next time we pull up here, I have some more interviews to play that we did show that night. Some reactions from Pens fans.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
That was crazy, right?
Now, those are always fun games to play, and especially when it comes to playoffs. And, I wouldn't mind meeting up with those guys, and it's looking like that's going to be the team, if any. We do play if it's a 4-5 matchup, but, I mean, honestly, I could care less if they make the playoffs or not, because they're not my team, and for me, it's more of like, all right, Philly, suck on that, than anything.
But yeah.
That's because I'm a jerk.
It'd be nice for them to miss the playoffs, but I wouldn't mind playing them again and beating them.
And I hope Dallas misses the playoffs too, because I don't want Nice Term in the playoffs. That guy sucks, too.
Well, it would only be in the finals that we would face them. So.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't even want to give him the satisfaction of making it to the playoffs.
So, Goligoski, no playoffs for him.
Sorry, Goose.
He got his cup.
Man. I think I hate every team in the league now.
Yes, just having that now.
No, it's just
wait till Phoenix
like
moves to like Hamilton, Ontario, and it's like the Hamilton Crickets. It's gonna be awesome.
Crickets.
We'll play that every.
They should just call them that there in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
That's what their fans are called. The Crickets. Actually, that could be pretty applicable to CEC at times, too.
It would be confusing them for, like, Buddy Holly or something.
Dude, if whoever runs the sound at Continental Energy Center one day when it's quiet, and, like, you would lose your job over this completely, but if it's so quiet you could hear a pin drop in that arena at one point throughout the playoffs, if you start playing some Crickets, I will give you a smooth $50 bill.
That would be great.
Bill. Wouldn't have to even iron out the
No, it'll be straight. It'll be straight from the bank.
The bank.
The bank. It'll be so worth your time. No, I mean, could you imagine though? And the other thing I would like to see happen is, and I kind of mentioned this after the Dallas game, but just being so fed up with the Nystrom hit and all of that, and especially the day after where nothing, you know, no suspension, nothing like that, and it's just a bad hit altogether. But we've seen time after time where these so-called incidental contact hits or it wasn't intentional hit to the head not go suspended, and you see big-time players go down for massive amounts of time. I would love to have seen Monday night, or any night, really, just a bunch of Grudge League signs floating through console hands, kind of, just to send a little message, like a grassroots kind of suck on this NHL. Like, we're very upset with you. I don't know. Maybe that's just my passive-aggressive part of me coming out, but I'd be kind of for that. You know, like, actually, maybe when Crosby comes back to that first home game, instead of Sid signs, it's Grudge League signs.
You don't deserve him.
Yeah, you don't deserve Sid, NHL. Suck it, Shanny.
Oh, man.
They won't go away. Stop. All right. Well, we'll be right back.
Hey, fans, are you tired of hitting the snooze button multiple times a day every morning? Well, hit that snooze button no more. The Pens Nation, in conjunction with a face-off actor, bring you the Ryan Mill Alarm Clock. Wake up to multiple different custom wake-up calls, such as, Good Morning, CEC! And this fan favorite, Hey, Ben, get on your feet! It's time for your morning dumb. You can also set your Ryan Mill alarm clock to warn you prior to waking up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 1 minute remaining to sleep. 1 minute remaining to sleep. You'll never want to hit that snooze button when you hear Ryan Mill scream at you to wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
All right, and we are back to say goodbye for the Pens Nation radio show this Tuesday evening.
Super Tuesday.
We'll see you tomorrow at noon on thepensnation.com, hopefully.
Video.
All your coverage of the Mario Lemieux Monument.
Lemieux.
You know it's going to be Mike Lang as the MC tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
He better be.
I'm so glad it wasn't Ryan.
That wouldn't make any sense.
What is he even saying? You would have had windows shattering in, like, the BNY building. Say, like, your owner and captain, Jackie Moon!
Mike Lang, he's a great MC.
Yeah,
I love when he was at the Stanley Cup parade, and he came on the mic and said, after game six, he was like, you know, we'll meet for all the marbles here in Detroit, and then he came up on the mic up there on the parade, he goes, I got the marbles, and he's holding like a bag of marbles.
Bag of marbles, yeah.
It's great. Love that.
It was incredible. Thanks for taking us down memory lane.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was a fun day.
He ties it all together so well, too. You know, I don't think there's anything the guy says just to say it. I think everything the guy says is so perfectly planned and thought through that he knows that somewhere down the road he's going to pull out a bag of marbles and shake them in front of a whole crowd.
Maybe never in the history of hockey have we seen such a great voice and a great mind as a guy like Mike Lang.
That's 80-year-old Ken Will doing a documentary of Mike Lang.
While impersonating.
Hi, this is Doc Emrick. Tell your mom hi.
See, you know, it's just since NBC Sports Network carrying the game tomorrow, I wonder if Doc's calling that game.
Oh, you don't know he is. I don't
know if
he is.
If he is, we have to meet up with that dude.
Let me get your mom some tickets.
We're going to be playing that music. Ba-da-bam-ba-da-bam. From the Ryan Mill alarm clock when that happens, too. You'd be like, hey, Miss Hughes. Ba-da-bam-ba-da-bam. Drive! You want two tickets?
Two tickets.
Now I'm picturing Lemieux. There's a tweet earlier from the Mary Lemieux Foundation saying his favorite musical artist of all time was Engelbert Humperdinck. And I can't... I tweeted earlier that I can't for the life of me seeing Lemieux get up for a big game, cranking up the Engelbert and in the dressing room just to get amped up for the game. And now I'm picturing him trying to sing some Engelbert. And now I'm picturing a duet with Doc Emmerich on that. So it's a dangerous mind of me here. I'm going to have freaking nightmares. All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. And Andy... be sure to tell your mom hi.
Hi.
Will do.